Join Heritage Radio Network on Monday, November 11th for a raucous feast to toast a decade of food radio. Our 10th anniversary Bacchanal is a rare gathering of your favorite chefs, mixologists, storytellers, thought leaders, and culinary masterminds. We'll salute the inductees of the newly minted HRN Hall of Fame, who embody our mission to further equity, sustainability, and deliciousness. Explore the beautiful Palm House and Yellow Magnolia Cafe. Taste and imbibe to your heart's content, and bid on once-in-a-lifetime experiences and tasty gifts for any budget at our silent auction. Tickets available now at heritageradionetwork.org/gala.
This week on Meat and Three, we're telling the stories behind iconic dishes. We learn what it will take to save New York's most famous egg cream, discover the importance of the goat neck in the East Village, and take a trip to India for delicious flatbreads.
Our customers who come in to get egg creams and t-shirts, they love to talk about their childhood or their teenage years or their college years.
I was living in Nepal, in northern India. And out there, there's a real famous dish, a classic dish, I should say, is called paya.
Parathe wali gali, or as it awkwardly translates in English, the lane of the stuffed flatbread makers, is probably one of the most popular food streets in Old Delhi.
Tune in to Meat and Three, HRN's weekly food news roundup, wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Cynthia Cherish Mallorin, Reverend and DJ Cherish the Love, and you are listening to Primary Food on Heritage Radio Network. Before I forget, let me tell you how to reach out to me and get my attention on social media, Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook at DJ Cherish the Love, and that's love spelled L-U-V, and hashtag using Primary Food, Heritage underscore radio, and hashtag Rev Love. I am so excited. I'm back for this really special episode of Primary Food, rounding out one of my favorite months of the year, October. It is not only Breast Cancer Awareness Month, of which I am a survivor since 2015, but just as importantly to me, October is Filipino American History Month, and I have survived being a Filipino American since 1976. Hence our very special theme song intro, my little lit version of the Philippine national anthem, Lupang Hinirang, which means the chosen land, music composed by Julian Felipe in 1898 without words, called Marcha Filipina then. The lyrics only came out in about 1966 based on the patriotic poem Filipinas, written by Jose Palma. And it was written in Spanish then because, oh, colonialism. But we're going to get back on that topic with our guests. So welcome to season 5 of Primary Food. And the name of this episode is Girl Ube Killing It. And my guests today are some badass Filipina Americans doing their thing in the art world, TV world, music world. That's me. And of course, the food world. Welcome to Primary Food, Ginger Lim Dimapasok and Charmaine Porcero. Am I saying your last name right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, cool.
What's up?
What's up? Hey, everyone. Yeah. What's up? What's up? So this show is called Primary Food. And what exactly is primary food? I had learned this great concept in nutrition school at IIN, the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, that the food you eat, you know, the stuff we put in our mouths and chew and enjoy, like the breakfast you ate or the pizza here at Roberta's, we consider that secondary food. And primary food is everything else in life that nourishes us before we sit down to eat. And that's stuff like enjoying music, reading a book, hanging out with friends, chilling at the beach, cooking food for loved ones, having a great job, creative expression, hitting the gym, you get it. And having loving relationships. And you'll notice that the better quality primary food you have in life, the better quality secondary food you tend to eat. And adversely, if you have terrible primary food in your life, like a crappy job, awful relationship, you'll find yourself more often than not eating terrible secondary food. And this is something I'm so glad I learned about because it was the high-quality primary food that I kept in my life going through that awesome, delicious chemotherapy that kept me happy and able to heal from my cancer. So today we're going to talk about what we do and the non-edible things we choose in life that nourishes us or malnourishes us. And just so you know, Primary Food is produced by Heritage Radio Network, a nonprofit member-supported radio station devoted to all things food. Keep HRN alive by becoming a member today. Go to heritageradionetwork.org and click on the beating heart to donate. Do it now and I'll love you forever, because they'll turn the lights off if you don't donate, because seriously, we need you. And you're invited to Heritage Radio Network's 10th anniversary gala. We're going to be celebrating a decade of food radio Monday, November 11th at Brooklyn Botanic Garden. So get your tickets at heritageradionetwork.org/gala. So we're going to talk about this Filipina-American life. I am first generation conceived, born and raised in the same Stuytown East Village, New York City apartment I live in. And we're going to discuss the things that we do as our primary food, those non-edible things that nourish us. And for me, that's all things related to music, DJing, producing, public speaking, emceeing, radio hosting, plus all things related to my dog, because petting your dog is great primary food.
Hey, whatever floats your boat. Yeah.
Charmaine Farcero. Is that Filipino last name? Wait, let me say it correctly. Filipino last name.
It's not a Filipino last name. It's a Spanish last name.
Yeah, okay, what
In
is
Colombia,
your...
Colombia, it means homie. It's homie. Parcero.
Parcero. Okay, parcero. Well, tell us a bit about your background. What makes you proud to be Pinay? For those who don't know, that's a woman of Filipino origin or descent, a Filipina. Is that the right definition?
We're defining things.
We're not
going to figure it out today.
And what part of the Philippines is your family from?
My mom's from Manila and my dad's from Imus, Cavite. And that's where his family still is. And then they met at Catholic Charities and moved to the United States with me.
With you?
Yeah, actually, I was made in the Philippines, but I was born in San Francisco at Kaiser Hospital on Geary Street.
Oh, my God.
But I was definitely made in
Baguio.
Actually, I wasn't made in Baguio. I was made before the honeymoon. I did the math.
accurately enough to determine that.
Wait a minute. Actually, that's really amazing. I was made in the Philippines.
Yeah.
Born stateside.
Yep.
How do you define yourself then if you were made there and then?
Oh, I'm Filipino because that's what I was raised in.
Yeah.
Like, I can bust it whenever I need to.
Say what? What'd she say?
You know what I mean? Like,
galing naman.
Yeah. Yo, you're not going to sell me in Divisorio.
How has your Filipino American History Month FAM, your FAHM, been? Hashtag FAM. Well, a little background for the listeners. FAM is celebrated in the United States during the month of October. And this is October. So, agree or disagree, fam or fam? See what I did there? Have you been enjoying this month extra Filipino-ly?
It's my first fam month.
Your first fam month.
That I've been fully immersed. It's exhausting. I love it, but it's tiring.
Why is that, Ginger?
There's so much. I mean, there's so much you want to do and participate in, but can't be everywhere all at once. And when you're in, you're in. So you want to do so much and it feels like there's not enough time and fuck, it's already end of the month. And
but that means you've been cooking a lot more.
I've been cooking a lot, cooking up things a lot. So there's been a lot going on.
Okay. How about you, Charmaine?
I haven't been farming out.
No?
Found out right now.
Well, you're here, right? You are
this
here.
This is step one. I'm on the show. We've farmed.
Welcome.
Welcome,
you have farmed. You have officially befarmed.
I'm befarmed.
You're befarmed.
Yes.
I've only started to kind of get myself into the idea of it and embrace it because I'm so detached.
Yeah, this is my first year actually participating because I grew up there, born and raised.
Oh,
didn't
yeah.
move here till 01. Never ever felt the need to kind of justify or explain how Filipino I was by, I don't know, it sounds really horrible, but I've always just, I'm Filipino, plain and simple. I really don't need to do much, but I feel like now I kind of do, and I think I know why. It's because I have little kids who might grow up without that kind of rooting.
It's visibility.
Yeah. And they don't have the same roots I have.
Yes.
So they're now rooted here in the United States.
Yes.
And I kind of want them to have a little background and, history of what it's like, other than the fact that I yell at them in Tagalog and and like OD them on sinigang and adobo at the house and Filipino spaghetti. It's not a bad thing. It's a great way to introduce how life was back home, but it can change. And they're surrounded by so many other cultures.
You know what I was thinking? And I always thought that there was room for this, but it wasn't room for this during our generation because our parents were born there.
Yeah.
And like were immersed there. But like Japanese kids have Japanese schools. Mm-hmm. Chinese kids have Chinese schools. But now because our generation barely speaks the language, they have their own, they've created their own cultural ties of what they know instead of the stuff that's really out there like that. And so now you can like have this and like have them have history and do that for like 2 hours on a Saturday. And then they'll teach you Filipino martial arts or they'll do something like that where the culture it's like, and these kids, how much are those? Like you take them to soccer. It's like $500 for like 4 months. And what are you getting from kicking a ball versus, I'm just saying, on football.
No hate on soccer moms. But I totally understand what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
I have been, let's just put it this way. It took me many, many decades and into therapy as an adult to realize maybe some of my problems is like cultural. You know? maybe I need to look into like my actual culturalness and understand things. So that's why I do all this research, because all these Filipino things have become, you know, research for it has become primary food for me because I love finding
stories. Were you born here?
I was born in New York, yeah.
Yeah, it's different when you're born here.
Oh, totally. And I feel like I'm finding these stories about independence through our people.
Yeah.
I'm a recovering Catholic. Figure it out.
What?
Recovering Catholic.
Oh.
She's spiritual but not religious.
Thank you. And I don't, you know, whip myself with vinegar chains. No. Food stories.
I'm not
you know?
Wasting that vinegar on a chain.
No, too delicious, too delicious.
You're like marinating yourself in adobo.
But there's so many viewpoints that have not been viewed in my perception through my own culture's eyes, and I'm trying to learn it through other people's experiences. And everything from diaspora stories, mother-daughter dynamic stories, LGBTQ++ stories, playing piano stories, healing our colorism, immigrant mentality stuff, generational trauma, body issues, fat phobia, white savior stuff, imposter syndrome, and I'm just talking about my life. Basically with like a side of guilt and shame on everything that I experienced, and I didn't understand where or why that was. Is my upbringing, and I didn't realize the connection. So all of the adobo and vinegar aside and the soan panties, great.
Did you guys bring it?
I didn't even know those had a name.
It's soan, dude. It comes in a box with flowers.
I totally didn't even know it had a name.
Are you talking about the underwear?
We're talking about it. But check it out. So I married a white guy subconsciously for those reasons.
What?
Well, not the panties part. The savior stuff.
Did you show him, though?
That's what he liked. As an adult, he felt like we could both fit in Darcy in these panties.
I did not have those panties. Well, actually, my mom would gift them. You know, but then, and then to divorce him, that was a whole other Filipino shame dynamic story. Yeah. To which I say now, whatever. But, you know, you guys obviously can relate
You're
to what I've said. I'm a trendsetter,
For
There's so many options on that shame menu. Can you relate? Hey, and just
Hi,
walk
Nicole.
In, Nicole
Hi,
Ponseca.
Nicole. Ginger. Hi, nice to meet you.
We're Charmaine, so happy to have you here. Charmaine, do you have any favorite primary foods that nourish you right now? Because you're very creative. You do the music, you do the art, the video, film.
Music. Right now, music is like everything.
Yeah.
Like it just soars through me. And then just like, I've been traveling. Mm-hmm. And eating.
You're a traveling foodie.
I'm traveling foodie.
You're basically traveling just to eat.
Yeah, basically. Well, you know, it centers me, so I'm not wandering too wild. But yeah.
And do you feel like you have a very specific Filipino-American story that you live your life by, or is it just super organic?
I think I'm like everybody else except my parents were different. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed that because I used to think my mom was old when she was 34. She was actually really cool. And they always never, like, it's like everything and more. Like, my dad loses sleep because he doesn't know how I can retire from life. they're just like completely still in love and they're really affectionate. Like,
oh, that's so
I
sweet.
Make a noise before I come in. I open the garage door over.
Oh, yikes.
Like,
because...
it's just different.
Wait a minute. How old were they when they met?
They were maybe like 26, 27. They were older.
Yeah.
And they also had a conversation of how we're going to raise kids. My dad's very methodical.
They planned it?
Yo, oh my
wow.
God.
Wow. Amazing.
The look of shock.
Amazing.
Because I'm like, it just happened.
Wait,
sorry, kids.
Wait, twice?
This is very progressive of your parents.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they met at like Catholic Charities. They planned everything. Like,
amazing.
My dad used his methodicalness to come from like a small town in Imus to like have a house in Hawaii and retire at like 58. And I use it to make sure I have all my shit with me when I leave the house.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have not, like, they did so much with it. And I'm just sort of like, oh, I'm keeping afloat with it.
Oh, so you're Caviteño?
Yeah.
Both parents?
No, my dad. My mom's from Manila.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have established that Charmaine is extra cool because she was made in the Philippines but born stateside.
Wow.
She did the
traveled the embryo.
Gestational math.
Yeah.
I feel like you should get a special passport stamp for that or something like that.
Where were you made?
I was made in the same bedroom that I sleep in right now.
Yeah!
Inside town, in the East Village.
Wow.
Amazing and creepy at the same time. But, you know, that's how it is.
Like, is there rent control there?
It's rent stabilized. There's a difference. I don't know the difference, but people tell me there's a difference. And that voice was Ginger.
Hi.
Sitting next to Charmaine, Ginger Lynn Dimapasok. Am I saying it right?
Yes.
Okay.
Dimapasok means do not enter.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Dimapasok.
So bastos. I'm used to
I'm
it.
Not a Dimapasok type of.
That is hysterical. Ginger, owner of Cafe 86, making all those Filipino sweets we can eat. How many locations?
We currently have four,
wow.
And we're about to open the fifth in about a month.
I love that she had to think about it. Like, how many locations?
That's you?
Cafe 86.
I have a follow you on Instagram.
Oh.
Oh, my God. That's dope.
Hello, hello. I should say hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
For those who don't know what halo halo is, Ginger, why don't you tell us?
Halo is Filipino shaved ice.
Tell
layered,
us the ingredients. Because
layered traditionally, well, the way I... People like it different ways. I mean, I'm not going to hate on how people prefer theirs.
Mad polarizing.
Just talk about yours.
Yeah, talk about yours.
Well, let's talk about ours, because number one, I don't like beans. Sorry.
And then we're going to talk about Nicole's.
That's the part that I like.
I know. Well, that's what
fight.
I'm saying.
We're going to fight.
So... People like their stuff different. I personally don't like beans just because my husband will fart a lot and I get Dutch ovened. And I'm not about... That's like grounds for divorce, I keep telling him. But anyways,
I'm
no
polarizing.
So I guess maybe that's
like,
why.
Give me
girl.
All the beans.
Yeah, so ours is a little bit different. We had to work around the stuff that's easy for us to access at a little tiny boba shop. Yeah. We have nata de coco, which is like a staple, and I love nata de coco. Jackfruit, we add.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of beans, we replaced it with boba, which kind of mimics sago.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that. And then we do a special blend. We don't have an ice shaver, so we make a milk slush. I'm not going to tell you what's in it, because my husband will kill me.
Yummy.
But it's evaporated milk base, and then,
you
of
just
course,
told us what's in it.
It's evaporated milk base, but it's more than that.
Oh,
and then we
magic.
Just top it with ube ice cream, and instead of pinipig, we put frosted flakes.
I can't think. Like, that
and
sounds
the
so delicious.
Leche flan.
Yummy. And we have a mutual friend. We have a mutual friend named Maricel Cison.
Yeah.
Principal of Beat Junkie
Shout
Institute
out.
Of Sound
what's
in
up,
Glendale,
Maricel?
California. My favorite DJ school ever. Shout out to ladies. Of sound.
Shout out.
She's the one who told me that your name actually meant that.
Yeah. What's up, Maricel?
I didn't know because I'm first generationer robbed of the language, so I only know dirty words, curse words, body parts, food things, and tabo.
Tabo is very important.
Tabo is important.
Yeah.
Very important.
Who wants to explain what that is for our listeners?
What's the English?
It's an old Magnolia ice cream pint tub that they've cleaned and used. Short in stature, but a little bit wide, that you put water in so that you can dribble it down your front and back to clean yourself after ones and twos.
She's, wow, that was
very accurately.
That was
hashtag tabo,
that
not
was,
taboo.
That was scientific.
Yeah, there's a specific size though, because
it could it can't be
have,
too big.
It could have too little water, or there's just too much, and you just spill.
Now,
sorry. Let's get back on track. Shireen, stop it.
What are your favorite primary foods, those non-edible things in your life that nourish your heart, soul, spirit, and mind?
I live in the 90s and never want to leave, so everything 90s is what I really love. R&B, Janet, TLC, and all that.
Yes.
Everything. Never I can't heard. Work without 90s music.
I bet.
My kids and my family.
Oh, yeah.
I really love, you know, music. I think all Filipinos are centered by music, too. Mm-hmm. So that's
sure.
a lot. You karaoke.
Are. I've For heard sure. some Filipino music on the radio because I was just in the Philippines a couple of months ago. And it was cumbia.
Like Philippine
it was,
cumbia?
Wow. Yeah, it was amazing. And I was like,
oh, I need to hear about that.
Philippine music has always been good, in my opinion. I grew up there, so... I loved OPM. OPM stands for Original Filipino Music.
I didn't know that.
Don't know. So there's a genre. There's a full genre called OPM, and I've always loved OPM. It's always comforting to me to hear it. Mm-hmm. And when my husband and I are homesick, we blast it on Pandora and sing really loud.
Is that a Pandora station, the OPM station?
Oh, yeah.
I have to look that up. Find it on Spotify. Yeah,
Spotify.
I have to look that up. Yeah. I did not know about that. Shame on me.
But... we have really good music, and I wish people would see it more and showcase it more, but we do have people like Roz Covarrubias of Mix and ABS-CBN, and she's bringing all this Filipino talent stateside now so people can actually recognize and see them and give them a platform.
I love that.
Yeah.
How did you get stateside? Because you were born.
My husband will say that I was a mail order bride.
Wow.
Word. That's like that?
Now, would you say that?
No.
Is he a mail order husband?
I chose him.
Wow.
So I'm like, yeah, you're lucky. Bring me back to the States. Yeah, I came here through marriage. I've always lived in the Philippines, but...
what part of the Philippines?
Manila. But my mom's from Pampanga and my dad's Cebuano.
Okay.
So we ate a lot of good food growing up.
That sounds good.
Had a lot of savage Filipina titas from Pampanga, like savage.
What do you mean by savage?
You know
titas?
The tita, like today, I'm in my cousin's house and one of my titas says, hey, your masaning is here in New Jersey. So we FaceTime her and I say, hi, ma. And she's like, who's this? Is this you, Dambuhala?
What does that mean?
It means a big girl or like a giant.
Yeah.
And they've called me that since I was a kid. Like, hello, Dambuhala.
I heard that too. And,
see?
And I'm tall and I'm big. And it's like they feed you and then they tell you you're fat.
This is that I know about.
This is a family party. Hey, Ginger, sit down. You eat na, ha?
Uh-huh.
You're eating. And they stand over you and say, ayun taba, enough na.
Yeah, exactly.
But
for me, in the English version was, come, sit down, sit down. Oh, you're fat. That's basically it.
They're also all thing. Like 5 feet tall.
Yeah. Savage.
Now, is that fat phobia or is that just, what is that?
Because no. Spanish listen, vanity.
It's vanity. So there's something about that also where they're like, they want to feed you because it feels like we've succeeded in being able to feed so much.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, they're like, we've also succeeded in finding entertainment for ourselves.
Yeah.
To say something about
I'm
you.
Immune to it. I think it's funny. But I'm just like, I don't want them to do it to my kids because low-key, I had a complex growing up because of it.
Still do.
I guess, yeah.
I still do.
Yeah, and she's like, well, when are you going to lose? I said, I have eaten and saved this for 42 years. I work so hard to... have this body. Why would I let go
in the
now?
Apocalypse?
Yeah.
Yo.
You will survive.
And I said, you see, because of this, I will not get kidnapped.
No.
Oh, my God.
No human trafficker.
This is why unless... you have so many restaurants.
But you have to talk to your titas. Like, I checked my tita in the Philippines, and you know how the hierarchy goes. You don't say anything. I was like, yo, tita, it's a different world now. We don't talk to the girls like that. We tell them they can do things. We don't talk about their body and give them an issue. She's 9. She's going to have so many issues.
Yeah.
You don't have to give her any.
I said that.
And she just looked at me and she was just like, what? All in Tagalog because, you know.
So she's like, what do I say then?
Nothing. Yeah. She just was quiet and she walked away.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You have to. Like,
you
there's
have
so
to
much
call
respect.
Them out now.
There's so much respect in our culture that we let things slide sometimes. And it's like, it's not okay. Like, it's really quite devastating.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
That's why I had that list of menu items that was so terrible. From fat phobia to body shaming and all of that.
Yeah.
But Cafe 86, is that something you created in rebellion to it all? How did that happen?
Cafe 86 pretty much started because my husband was then at a point where he no longer wanted to be in his computer job and felt he wanted to do something that belonged to us. All he could think of at that time was a boba shop because he was a part of a car group. You know the Filipinos that park their cars? They stare at the engine? Oh, that's what they do.
It's a car club.
It's a car club.
That's a thing.
Well, he drives an AE86. It's a Toyota Corolla from the 1980s. And it's
that's
the same.
Where the 86 comes from.
Yes. It's my husband's car.
Okay.
So, yeah. And we just wanted to open something that, you know, place to hang out. And then when we were developing the menu, I didn't want it to be what everyone else had. Yeah. And I'm like, I wanted to serve calamansi juice and ube milkshakes and...
What do you specialize in? How would you describe?
We specialize in drinks and desserts that showcase Filipino flavors. Most importantly, ube.
Okay. What are other Filipino flavors that are good to get in people's minds?
Calamansi will be there.
Which is?
The little Filipino key lime. Is that how we describe it? Would that be the way we can describe calamansi as like a Filipino?
Yeah, I usually say mandarin and key lime.
Like a cross between a mandarin and a key lime. It's really tiny, really tart. Uh-huh. But very distinct in flavor. I can smell it from afar. Like when someone's cutting it,
for sure,
I know there's calamansi in the region. And pandan, occasionally we do pandan. I'll try to make things like chocolate cake or vanilla. Nobody cares. So I got to keep ube.
Yeah, like get this out of here. Give us
like,
the purple stuff.
I can make chocolate cake too.
Be like, nah.
Purple stuff.
Nah. Like, so, nah. Yeah. Sitting next to Ginger, another badass Filipina sister of ours. Speaking of victories and opening shops and restaurants and things, what is up, Nicole Friggin' Ponseca?
Hello.
James Beard nominee. What?
Hi.
Author. What? Hi. Restaurant maven. Looks like you've been getting in a whole lot of primary food in the form of inspirational public speaking lately. How are you doing? Tell us about your journey and where you are right now.
I'm trying to figure out what's next for me now. I think I did the restaurant thing. I did it as a mom and pop. I have no interest in doing that anymore. So I'm transitioning my career. I'm looking to get out of New York. So okay. January, I'll be living only part-time here.
Oh, I'm going to miss you.
Yeah.
Do you know where?
I'm probably going to start off in the Bay and then figure it out from there. I plan on being in New York about 10 to 12 days out of the month. So I've always wanted to be bi-coastal. I've been talking about it for many years, so I'm taking the plunge now. I just don't know how I'm going to take care of my dogs. That's the only thing.
How many dogs do you have?
I have two. It's their birthday today.
Oh.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, I mean, that part I know is true. I had gained, I'd say, 90 pounds from opening the restaurant. And I just lost 50 to 60, depending on the day that I'm getting weight. I'm weighing myself or what kind of week I had. Yeah, so I'm cool with that kind of leniency because I lost it pretty fast. I was shocked to have lost it that way. Mm-hmm. And then, so I'm focusing on my health a lot, like mental health, physical health, spiritual health, and hopefully romantic health as well. They'll start, you know, blossoming. Yeah.
Finding it bi-coastally, because you're West Coast born.
I'm from Cali, yeah. I grew up in San Diego, and then I went to college at the University of San Francisco.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, tell us a little bit about your amazing book also.
Cool.
Because I have it here.
Thank you.
I cried when I bought it at Jeepney that night. Mm-hmm. I know you remember. Not just because you signed it, but because I had actually never seen who I am, who my parents are, who my grandparents are, and how I eat ever in a book, let alone a hardcover with a gorgeous cloth spine book with embossing and gorgeous photos. It was so moving to hold this book. It's I am a Filipino and this is how we cook. That's right. So tell us about that, the journey.
So the book itself has been a journey 20 years. I mean, most of my things I do pretty long-term, long-term research and vision. So that started around when I was conceptualizing the first restaurant and what I knew the restaurants needed to do to boost Filipino food and our culture. So the book, like I would go to the Philippines and I remember reading the poem by Carlos Romulo, or the speech rather, I am a Filipino. So I knew that was going to be the name of the book. And then I remember 1968 civil rights movement, there was a beautiful poster made called I Am a Man. So the typography is based on the 1968 posters, I Am a Man. And the content, unlike a lot of, I'd say, Filipino books, really, aside from like the first two chapters, is about the interlopers and influences in Philippine culture and food. So the book is broken up Mexican and Spain. And I really reference Mexico before Spain. I think it's a detriment for us to think our identity is so wrapped up in Spain. It's, for me, full-on Mexican. More than Spain. Yeah, we can get into that anytime. We talk about Moro, American culture. So for me, I wanted to see a book that my 11-year-old self wanted to see. Mm. Because in social sciences, the only time I saw it was during the Spanish-American War and like maybe two sentences that said the Philippines. And I would pour over that sentence and over, just finally seeing,
I just got goosebumps. You brought me back to something like that in school, too. Seeing like a paragraph or like a little call out in a colored box.
Anything.
Mentioning
Ernie Reyes Jr., Tia Carrere, anytime we would see it. I mean, I don't want to reference pop culture too much because, I mean, it's within grasp for us to talk about. But I'm talking about like substantive shit, like textbooks, politics, anything of that nature. I really like to push forward. That's why I feel like my restaurants were more political than just food.
So it was such an activist move, really.
I think I'm an activist entrepreneur.
You are an activist entrepreneur. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you feel like that is still the core of why you're doing what you're doing?
Well, I neglected myself. I'm sure might have similar stories with people in the room. When you're focused on your career, and New York is such a fucking bitch. She demands so much. They demand so much of you that it's grind in the morning, work, 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 grind at night. And I neglected myself. I neglected my values, integrity. In terms of self-esteem, boundaries, certainly the weight gain was not good. And right now where I'm at in my career, I definitely want to keep pursuing social activism within entrepreneurship and have fun with it. I mean, I'm a pretty serious person, but when you know me, I'm like a goofball. But I need to make sure that I'm taking care of myself first, because really for 20 years, it was Filipinos first. Filipino culture, Filipino identity, Filipino discussion, conversation, marketing, all of that. And I think I did my job, what I hired myself to do. And I think we kicked the door open. I'm not saying I'm the first Filipino restaurant. I'm not the last. I'm not the first book. I'm not the last. But I think what we did was what I wanted. And now my next goal is, what do I want for myself?
What do you want? Yeah, what do you want for yourself?
I would love to, I would really like to be in the entertainment space. If we're talking about the career stuff, I'd love to be in the entertainment space. I'd love to help executive produce films or projects, podcasts. I mean, we've talked about this. Yeah. I have something here. And I think that I can speak for people who may not have the time, the ability, or the desire to speak up. But I want to speak for myself and whoever needs representation. And I'd love to be in love and, you know, all of that. I want to live life to the fullest. I don't want to leave anything on the table.
Right.
But I know now that I will never do that sacrificing intuition or one for the other. It's all in. Some people think, okay, you leave personal life and professional life and, you know, we can compartmentalize. I don't think that. If I want to hang out with you, I want to work with you. If I want to work with you, I want to hang out with you. I want it all in, because my passion and my work will spill over into life.
I get it.
And
totally.
It's so rich, isn't it? Like travel and discussions like this and
100%.
Food. Like, I ain't got no time. I ain't got time.
Nicole,
we don't have time.
I hear that. And everything changed for me when I decided I only wanted to work with people I liked and loved.
Yep. Mm.
I mean, before that, it was always like the mindset for me was people at work you hate, but you have people at home you love and you just live like that. And that was sickening.
No.
Oof. That was no healthy for me. No. And then, we all get to that point in our lives somewhere. There's an age and it's like you wake up and you're like, what the And then you realize, like, I want to change this. I want to change that. I want to lose this person. And I want to gain that person. I want to do this and do that. And you're at a big crossroads, too.
I have something in common with my dear friend, Freddie Anzuras, who has influenced me always to, like, look to your childhood heroes or look to others for a path that you're trying to create. So mine are, like, Tina Turner. Oh, yeah. Cher, Barbara Streisand. I love strong women. I love women with voice. Yeah. I love women with stees. And there's something about my age right now. I'm 43. 43. I don't know. You're 43?
I'm 42.
42.
Hey! Okay.
Okay, we're the elders.
So there's something about being this age. I've never felt more on fire. I feel
I
like
totally agree.
Fuck. Really? I 100%. Feel the sexiest yeah. I've ever yeah. been yeah. in yeah. my yeah. life.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to take everything on. And, and I'm so easy to say no. Like, I hung out with my friend Jose Vargas this past weekend, and he heard me say no to a very wonderful person who asked us out for dinner. And I said, that sounds really awesome, but I'm not going to be able to make it. And he looked at me like, and then I said no to something else. And that's for him the signifier that he's like, Nicole has changed.
Mm.
Yeah.
That is
good for you.
I just got
thank you so much.
Yeah. So I was telling Cynthia.
Okay.
I said, I've never met Nicole, but I follow her on social media. And I said, Nicole from last year is so different from Nicole.
It's permeating in
are
the social.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You could see?
I could tell. I could see.
I like
feel
myself.
Your energy. I feel like I've run into you a couple times last year, and I felt like you were dragging and that you didn't, like, you were there, but you weren't, like, you were bustling, but it didn't seem like a hustle that you were liking, but you were doing it. And now you feel, like, really light and very fresh. And it feels like...
Very different.
It feels like there's not a thing about, like, you don't... I felt you last year. Like, even if you're just walking by me during some movie documentary thing, and I would feel it, and I was like, oh, wow. And you can tell, too, because, I mean, like, you gain weight and everything. It's all-encompassing. You don't even know it took over. And then you sort of, like, oh, shit. Egg's done. Pop. And, like, you're just busting out. Like, I could feel you. Like, it's great. Yeah. You feel youthful.
Thank you.
Like, you're not encumbered by...
And it's not that I don't have issues. I have worries and concerns, but I'm like going to get it done. I don't know why I feel that way, but...
Because you already know you're going to get it done because you got this far and you got it done. Everything else was just like, you know what I mean? And then when you're a woman, you're just like, oh, really? You want to do that right now? Okay, I'm cool on that. I'm cool. I don't need to deal with it. No, I'm right.
I'm very touched.
I don't
touched.
Need to, you know what I mean?
Very touched that you would even notice. I feel so invisible and felt... The anomaly is, like, I had the book and we were on tour and, like, the accolades, but I felt so invisible. I felt like such a shadow of myself. It's almost like I signed a deal for success and I paid the price.
Yeah. But at least you got there and you finished. Like, even on the deep.
You should have told me not to wear eyeliner today.
No, on the panel for the movie premiere, I was there with my big brother, David Magdell, and we watched the thing, and I saw you on stage, and I was like, oh, okay. I was like, you just, it wasn't, sorry, not to,
no,
but you know,
I'm,
but it
I,
wasn't,
I have no
but it was just like, you were, I was like, oh, okay, it's just, she's just doing press.
Which one was this?
It was the one in New York, and then we had a thing upstairs, and it was like all the food, and then it was like all the different chefs and stuff like that. And, and it was like a thing, and you were clothed in something that, you know,
you probably phoned it in.
No, you looked like you could have, might have tried to be around Imelda, but a little like, I was like, what is with this, like, you know, this bag, it was very structured. It felt very structured, but it didn't feel like. But you're that businesswoman special. Like,
well, something's changed. I mean, whatever primary food you're doing, meditation and everything.
Ride that.
What are you doing? Like, list top three things.
Yeah, I think it's your aura too, because it was
fasting.
Very different.
Intermittent fasting is real.
Intermittent fasting. Well. Oh, well, first of all, I just want to say thank you for even being kind to me and saying nice things to me like that.
Thank you. It's just the truth. You know, we've seen you speaking at really important events lately. Saw you laughing it up with Connie Chung. You want to tell us about that? I mean, that seemed like a very big deal, actually.
Well, I Am Womankind is an organization that helps rehabilitate women who have been abused, and they have six homes throughout New York City in different, I think, boroughs, and they provide homes up to 6 months, and then the rehabilitation includes work skills, and they even bring the children in. The issue right now is not a lot of women come forward, and under the current presidential administration, they have changed the way funding works. So women have to come forward in order to receive funding. Mm. So funding has sharply been cut. And so I'm Womankind, they have a yearly gala, and two nights ago they had theirs, which was the most successful they've had thus far. And they honored two people, Connie Chung and myself. I was the youngin, and she was the legend. So it was really cool. And what they didn't know is that I have my own experience with abuse over many years, starting when I was a child with molestation from age 3 to 8, pretty much every day, Monday to Friday, 3 p.m. like clockwork. So I've had to work through that. And what I know now is that if you don't work through the abuse, it does recalculate itself, because it becomes a pattern of something that you're used to, even though it's so awful. I bring this up now, who, if you're Filipino, hopefully you might use this podcast as an opportunity to talk about it with your family, or if you've carried around some shame about it. If there's any lightness that this room has seen in me now, it's because you have to address it. So
100%.
Yeah.
I have experienced domestic violence in my lifetime as well, and I didn't understand that was what was even happening. And, mm-hmm. of course, it was secretive and shameful until I cracked. Mm-hmm. And I had to. And any lightness you see about me today is because I had to face it and work it through with therapists, people I love, and most especially myself. Mm-hmm. And to understand that the other party doesn't even matter. I don't even care, because it's not about that. It's about me healing and getting nourishment from the rest of the world.
Correct.
Which is so beautiful. This moment right now is so beautiful. This discussion is so delicious. It's like, this is what nourishes us really, truly, truly. Mm-hmm. But part of our culture, shame, not speaking up, you know, all of that stuff. That's why we started to talk about that earlier. I mean, Nicole, I'm so proud of you. So proud of you. You know, you're teaching us, you're exemplifying the honor, your truth, get on the mic about it. And that's heavy stuff. Mm-hmm. If it's, you know, embroiled in business and everything else, it's pretty heavy, and you're doing it. Why is it so important that you do that now?
I don't have a choice. I mean, this month last year, Bourdain had passed in June, and Kate Spade, and I mean, there's so many before whose lights went out too early. And I saw myself that way, 2 a.m. in the morning. I called my mom. And, you know, my mom isn't someone I would normally go to for help. You know, she,
yeah.
like, mental health, Ditto. And yeah. they're, like, tough. They're
yeah.
tough.
Yeah. That, and they worry too hard.
Yeah, it becomes more yeah. burdensome yeah, yeah, to yeah. tell them.
Like,
than...
because you'll sleep and they'll be awake like, oh, he's worried about you enough.
Did the rosaries come out?
You know, I'm not Catholic. Okay. It's such an anomaly. I'm the only child, my mom's only child, and I was not raised Catholic, and neither was...
That's amazing.
It's so, I have such a...
One less thing you have to do.
I have
one,
such
totally
a
one less guilt you yeah. have.
One less thing to pick up after.
Oh, wow. Is it karaoke already, ladies?
I am down.
What the hell?
It's been karaoke. These are mics. Here. These are mics.
Hella
and she just got 100.
Hey, she just got 100. That's therapy. Karaoke's therapy.
Yes, that's why I'm
Go ahead, bust out the ABBA, girl.
We should go tonight.
Can we?
Let's go. Let's go.
Anyway, I mean, long story short, I called my mom, and she actually came about. But this is after many years. My mom and I would have spats. I could curse at my mom to be like, you're not fucking talk to me like this anymore. If you want me in your life, this is how it's going to be. Thank God for Ubers, because if she would get into me, I would... Thank you. Goodbye. Get out of the car. Thank God for hotels tonight. I would book myself in a hotel in San Diego. Happy to be there, wanting to push it through, but I'm not going to go through it with the negativity. And we are so good.
Oh, wow.
I'm still me. She's still her. But if you want the relationship with your parents on a deeper level, you can have it, but you have to push. And I started looking at my mom, not as a mom, but as a woman.
Like I said at the top of the show, mother-daughter dynamics in our world.
Yeah.
Yo.
mother-daughter dynamics is just
and then you realize your dad sat around and your mom did everything.
Oh, because Filipino males are castrated in the Philippine culture.
They do nothing. My mom's like, I made your breakfast. I'm responsible for your dinner. And he's sitting there. So this is what you get.
The way I look at it, the Filipino male experience, and please tweet at me, Instagram, let's talk about it.
They're lazier because of it.
Yes.
And we're stronger because of it, because we've had to carry it in a way they've been coddled their whole life to not be able to deal with it.
They either become the bunso and totally inept, or completely machismo with an idea that they have this masculinity, like FPJ, got it going on. but there's wala.
And then we women have to carry so much more. I feel like we have a specific Filipina challenge when it comes to being a woman and all the burdens. And do you feel like that is just, do you think that's something culturally that can shift?
Oh, I think I roll with some pretty dope Pinoy males right now. Like my friend Freddie Anzuris, Johnson Vitug in the Bay. I mean, there's Rich the Barber out here. Not without our flaws, but they're getting it done.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And I'm so proud of our generation's Filipino males.
And beyond that, that Filipino male, I have a cousin and a brother who are single fathers, and my dad was like, doesn't he need a woman? And I was like, and I remember coming at him like, if it was you, you wouldn't have needed mom, but he's got this. Like, he's like, got this, because that's a different type of man than that was. Like, mm-hmm. I've been at a healing table, like that's what it was after dinner with my parents and stuff. And my dad's like, and everyone's crying. And my uncle, who's like in the military, he's like, we didn't know. That's what we thought would happen. So we hit you. We didn't know. We didn't figure it out. We didn't have time to do whatever. And it was like, okay, it's cool. It's fine. I'd probably be an asshole or a wreck and like not around if I wasn't hit, because I would not ever be afraid anymore. But it's like, but now this sort of male is like, they have that both sides where it's like they have that macho, but they're also sort of like doing little girls' hairs and braiding it up and stuff like that. Like, it's crazy.
Props to my brother doing exactly that.
You know
that
what I mean?
That is sexy as fuck. You know what I mean?
I'll introduce you. No, I don't do eggplant.
Wow. Like, there are some heteronormative aspects of masculinity that I'm very still attracted to.
Yeah.
And as Jess says,
in the Bay.
And the way I respond, I'm very modern, but I'm a girl in the heteronormative way of...
Yeah, you're going to find somebody that loves you right because you finally figured out how to love you right.
Sean.
Oh, my God. This is why I don't have a lot of Filipino girlfriends. You guys are way too much. Too much. Sobra ka.
I'm so glad you're expressing that, because I think generally we hold things in too much, and we're not so quick at seeking help either. And, you know, why is that? Is that cultural also?
Ain't nobody got time for that.
For what?
Wait, nobody got time for that. They didn't have time to be like, my mom's like, I don't want to be stressed out by this stuff that happened, like, whenever, when things are happening right now and I'm doing this thing, okay, they're just pushing it forward. There's no, we don't have the white privilege of time, especially when they came here.
But the idea of not asking for help is because, if I were to reiterate it, is it because there's no time for us?
We are not a me culture. I'm the only person that has left the tribe in the Bay Area. We're an us culture. And so it's like, we don't have time for you to do this. What's so difficult about that? Why is that so hard?
That's so interesting, because my experience was neither a me culture nor an us culture. I was just felt invisible. Well, I grew up in this neighborhood where when I was in public school as a child, they were like, do not teach this child any Filipino. They don't want us to have an accent.
Yeah.
If you had a second language at home, you were immediately enrolled in ESL and considered less smart.
Wow.
Even though multiple languages in your brain mean yours more smart.
Yeah.
More smart.
More smart.
You're more smarter. You're more smart.
It's so reversed, and I'm so robbed of that.
Wait, what's that term?
Matalino means smart. Oh. But yo, I go to the Philippines, I'm talking like this, and then be like, yo, asa na karikiriko? They'd be like, what the fuck? And I was like, yeah, dude, what?
Don't sleep on me.
Don't sleep on me. No, but I love it. Don't sleep on me. Yeah. Like, but that's why you don't need anybody. I'm all about visibility, because I'm very outspoken about the things that I feel like need to be visible about me. But I don't need you to see me coming. I don't need you to see me. If you don't already see me, I don't need you to see me. I've never needed that or wanted that. And that's a whole Filipino thing. Like, don't watch us.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, don't do that. They're going to watch you. They're going to see you. Like, don't let them
see
you.
There's so much about that looking and seeing. Because, like, one thing that I noticed in here, none of us are doctors, lawyers,
oh, hell
nurses.
No.
engineers, architects, and we are doing our own thing, but bet our parents didn't like that because of what people would think when they saw us. I know my parents were like, what will they think?
I mean, I didn't talk to my parents for a good 2 to 5 years for a minute because I knew I needed to charter my own path, and I questioned what values were my own. And, you know, they went also through a painful divorce and then, you know, all of that. But I used that time to construct me independent.
How timely is it to happen at that point where things are sort of ripping apart, but you're coming together? You know what I mean? Like, it just sort of mirrored what was going on in their own relationship.
Well, I think, yeah, it happened also during 9/11.
Oh.
And then...
you're doing all the crying this session, girl.
Yeah. That period of my life was so focused on work.
Yeah.
Like, the restaurant and advertising and living in New York, that I had a lot of distractions, purposeful distractions that,
yeah.
I mean, I haven't really thought about that.
Have you had a Sex in the City moment?
Ooh, those are one?
The, look, I'm not even like that,
one?
But I have those moments where I'm just like you are in the city. You are one with the city. Like, that is your moment. You're like, yo, I am New York
Sex
right
in
now.
The city. I love racy moments for sure.
Your new nickname is going to be Pun Sexy.
Pun Sexy. That sounds like a bad reggaeton song.
We are all Pun Sexy.
But even here, this is a Sex in the City moment. All of us in a room, in a podcast, being ourselves, authentic. We're rewriting the script and we're recasting it with us.
Yeah, and you know what we are? We're all entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
Shout out to Anna Marie Cruz, the originator, founder, entrepreneurship. Right?
Yeah.
Because we all have to be many things in order to run our business, right? Mm. We have to do so many things. Like, we are, like I said at that talk, we are jackfruits of all trades, right?
Yeah. Cute.
We have to do it all. Because it
y'all are corny, so Filipino. jackfruits of all trades.
New shirt.
Ume killing it.
Oh, you're the ones coming up with all the jingles?
That's her shirt. I have a question. What in this room has been the biggest challenge faced or most transformative event or circumstance? Because I think one thing, not seeing us in media or not seeing people that look like us in a film or television, you don't think it's possible to overcome some things that you don't see. So for any of you, like, I'd want to know.
Your book. And that was recent.
Oh, come on.
Subconsciously, I didn't realize that I didn't think we could have a book. I didn't even
girl, that wasn't, East Coast, West Coast, Filipinas.
That wasn't a that wasn't a thing in my, you know, sometimes you just don't know what you don't know you don't know. Or that you don't realize.
Okay, but didn't you have cancer?
Yes.
See, the beauty of that is that became
more than
secondary.
The chemotherapy girl, that book.
That became secondary to her because of...
Because she found herself.
I'm going to validate
it's
this.
It's all part of that.
Thank you.
It's all part... Me healing from cancer and all of that, it reset me in the way of understanding I need to know who I am. And I need to understand me from the core. And my identity, my cultural... The color of my skin, the food, my taste buds. Without those pieces, I couldn't ever feel whole. Even if I was healing from an illness, it was like there was something missing. And I was like, oh, because I'm in this world. I work with the high echelon successful people, quote, quote.
Yeah, you do.
And they don't look like me. You know what I mean? So I just kind of ride it as I accept what's normal. This is the normal. You are part of changing the normal. You better own that. Just
you found something you
could
relate to.
Yeah, totally.
And I think as women, we have to learn how to accept that. Because, you know, you tell your mom, like, oh, it's nothing. It's nothing. Yes, it's something. Because if I didn't say something, it would be something.
I don't lie.
And
some of the first things that moved me the most was I went right to the maps in your book, and I was looking for where my parents are from. Bohol Panglao. And I was like, they're there. Even though, of course, they'd be there, but I had to see it with my eyeballs.
Yo, Panglao is beautiful. I went to Bohol.
Yeah, my mom.
Yeah, that's a lot to walk through the airport and see Jose Vargas's book on the newsstands. Mm. And I watched three people pick it up, and I'm like, gonna cry there. And recently, my daughter did a book report at school. And I'm like, okay, choose your book. What are you gonna do it on? She's been reading a lot of books. And she decides to do it on Everlasting Nora, which is a Filipino
a Filipino book. And I said, are you sure you're going to do that? She says, yeah, I really like the story. And she did a whole board on it, you know, printed out the everlasting flowers. And if I grew up in the United States, if, you know, when I was a kid, I don't think I would have ever had this kind of awareness to this identity. And I'm glad.
That's you.
My kids.
Yeah.
Now, we live in a time where they can go out and want to have dinner and their friends can make it, can say things like, hey, let's go out and have adobo.
Yeah,
let's go grab ube ice cream somewhere. It's now normal.
Yeah.
Just as normal as saying, let's go out and have fucking pizza or sushi or Korean food.
Why did you wear mascara today? Why?
Wow. I have been crying since I landed in JFK. It's been such an emotional.
Nicole, your book. My niece is half Guyanese, half Filipina.
Okay.
She's 7.
Pretty.
I could put this in her hand and she's going to know.
Yeah.
She's going to know she exists. Without this, it'd be different. That's all I'm saying. And different in a major way. You figure it out. I think you know what I'm saying. So
I think you captured a part of the culture.
This book is important.
I think we take it for granted because we came from the West Coast and it's different there. You know what I mean? Like, I heard the Filipino national anthem.
I cry each time
at school,
it plays.
Once a year. They did the thing.
That's
but
amazing.
But out here, it's sort of like, and you don't even see it because that's not even the world that you're part of. And you might have not even thought that that was like demographic or that audience. But right here, like her, there's a lot of them out here.
So for us, non-West Coasties, where do we get your book?
Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com.
Because I know by now there are people like, I want this book.
It was on the shelves of Barnes and Noble in my city.
Wow.
I remember that day.
Yeah, amazing.
It just went into... After 6 months, it went into third printing.
Amazing. Amazing.
That's great.
Yeah. For all the good reasons.
No, I'm going to go buy the book.
I mean, I don't even know really how to... Did you actually answer Nicole's question?
Yeah, what about you? What is your most transformative?
And you as well.
I've always been lucky enough that my parents allowed me to transform the way I transform. Like, my dad would knock my aunt's knees together if her legs was open, but I could always sit and do whatever I wanted. So I never felt like I had a big transformation. I just, maybe I put myself in situations where it's like, oh, I move in New York and I'm leaving everything in LA. And I'm just like, I don't know a film community here. I'm going to do this and just like leave or whatever. But I feel like there's nothing that big because I've been able to handle it or manage the way to do it where it's like, it's not like, oh, I'm like this and oh, I'm like that. Oh, I just figured this out. And it's like, no.
But did you ever have a challenge or like, what's your, you know, Citizen Kane, you know, your film. So Citizen Kane.
I've always avoided trying to like tell a story from a Filipino American point of view of like, oh, you know, this is like, oh, the duality of what it is of like, I don't belong here and I belong here. And I was like, man, that sounds mad corny. I feel like I can internalize that and figure it out. So I haven't come up with anything. So my challenge has always been like, what am I doing for my legacy, my family's legacy in this culture and stuff like that. And so I think it was just figuring out how I fit there as an artist. And now, and then opening my world to that and spending like this month in the Philippines and realizing, oh, I'm going to produce this docuseries. And we're going to give the Filipino people their roots beyond colonizations and colonizers that came in, like our roots. Like we are Ophir in the Bible. King Solomon got gold from the Philippines. Sheba is from Cebu.
That's
and we're
going to
explore those things, and we're going to do that stuff. And it's like, okay, maybe I'm going to do this and like set up little Filipino schools so that this culture can come back and stuff like that. My biggest hurdle is like not being visible as a Filipina because I was just like, this is who I am. I'm just Charmaine. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. There's like nothing, whatever. But otherwise, it's like, I am who I am. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not declaring myself anywhere. I just am. And no one's ever made me feel like I had to do that. So I haven't done that.
Have you experienced any kind of a big conflict or challenge?
Well, like I was telling you earlier, you know, Fam Month, I've been working in this industry for like 5 years, and never, every time anyone would approach me, you want to participate in FAM and blah, blah, blah. I never said yes, because I'm just like, why? I mean, I'm Filipino. I know who I am, and I just didn't feel like I needed to do it. And up until this year with Anna Marie through entrepreneurship, that I got fully immersed and I saw what goes on and I understood why I needed to be there. And it's because of my kids who were born here. And I need them to be able, because my roots, we were just talking about this through the Ant Hill pop-ups. They're the Cebu weavers who brought the clothing to the United States. They actually have a pop-up here on Sunday. But they called the event Ugat, and we had it at Cafe 86. And she talked so much about how are you rooted. And for me, I can confidently say my roots are back in Manila, in Parañaque, where I live. And I'm planted there. You know, my roots traveled to the United States, but I'm still firmly planted there. And I'm confident in that. But now my kids, their roots are here in the United States, and they have no nourishment from motherland. Mm-hmm. And this is why I felt like, okay, finally, I understand why I need to be immersed and why I need to embrace these cultural events. It's because I need my kids to have that kind of nourishment in their roots that are rooted here in the United States. Because there's so much around them. Their Korean friends speak fluent Korean, Japanese friends, and their Mexican friends speak Spanish. And I'm a fluent Filipino speaker, and so is my husband. And my kids don't speak Tagalog at all. They know when I say, hey, matulog ka na, or mapapalo ka na, or maligo. They know the basics, but do they really know the language? No, do they know the culture? No. Do I know the culture? Shamefully, I don't. Because living in the Philippines, we were never immersed in culture. We just lived there. You know, you were just present. And sad part is, in the Philippines, going to school, our primary medium of teaching was what? English. Mm-hmm. Filipino was one class, one subject. Particularly the school I went to, anytime you spoke Tagalog at school, there is a money jar. You drop money in, you get fined because you spoke Tagalog in my own fucking country.
Wow.
And I did not realize how messed up that was till I stepped away from the Philippines.
What year was that? That was like the 80s.
Yeah.
I mean, 80s, that was, 90s, like, that, was that prime time.
Yeah.
Where?
Yeah. And everyone just wanted white kilikili, white skin. Just saw an ad for a peck whitening thing. Why do we need to whiten that?
Well, anyways, to be fair, put the white in their butts too. So
So, I'm just kidding, so anyways, we were so in love with other cultures other than our own back home. Mm-hmm. We even, Aunt Hill brought this very important point up. We consider Filipiniana costumes back home. Mm. It's a costume.
Yes, it's a costume day where you celebrate that.
We call it a costume. Yeah. We celebrate it once a year, like Halloween. Do you have your Filipino costume? Mm. Hmm. What?
But that Filipino costume is like a Spanish influence costume or whatever costume. It's not like our own. So it's harder to sort of do that, which is why I'm working with these people to dig back. And it's like, this is our own.
You have to hear Anya speak. She's a Filipina, born and raised in Cebu. And she's in love with culture. She's always been fully immersed and she loves her own. And she's saying, you know, a lot of people find healing through things like, for myself, it's food, you know, cooking these food, that Filipino food for my family, for others. That's healing for me to be able to share it. But then there's people who wear the weaves, wear the fabric, that's healing to them. I mean, you know, the form of clothing, the saya and everything might be colonized in looks, but it's deeper than that. The weaves, the hands that created these weaves.
I mean, like, you go there, you go to Mindanao, you can go to like 10 different villages.
Yeah.
And they weave all differently.
They weave like, so it's beautifully.
Like, it's ridiculous. It looks completely
different.
That's
their primary food.
I only wonder what it's actually saying in that weave, because I can't.
You have to, you know, please, I mean, go to the pop-up,
but
listen,
you should
to her.
Look it up and tell people.
Yeah, I'll post. I've been posting it, but it's, you have to go.
How do you answer that question, Nicole?
What's the most transformative?
Transformative.
Unpacking all of this shit is oppressive, generational trauma, colonialism embedded in the upbringing, you know, who knows how far back. It doesn't start with us, not my mom. Grandmother, probably great-grandmother, you know. and so I could be my most authentic self, unfettered. That's probably the most transformative thing in the last 3 years. So, and also age, because of course you give a fuck, but I don't give a fuck.
The 40s are fun. No,
they're great. You don't. Why? It's too... I already did all that.
Yeah, I think we're at that point, like, right?
I already know.
In the 40s?
I know what I want to know. Have you been to a sound bath?
What's a sound bath?
No!
When you go to California, you go to Joshua Tree, they have this thing at the Interatron. Basically, it's like this structure that they created, especially from what you're going out now, it'll ring out all the inside. You basically lay down and you have those Mexican blankets, and you're in this thing that was created to hold a telescope. And this guy, the biggest bulls, and it just rings through your body. Palm Springs. I'll send it to you.
Palm Springs.
It's and vibrational. It just rings through. And then you leave, and outside it's just desert. So it's like, wow, it's an enema for the rest of my body.
Wow.
And you just feel so clean. Like, you just feel so clean. You go there, and it feels so clean. Whatever was having a hard time entering can enter. Whatever was having a hard time leaving has left. Like, it's just... Throughout your whole thing, you're like, I had a friend next to me, and she was crying.
It's an exquisite reset.
Yo. And it's different when you go here, and they do the little bowls. You go there, the whole thing rings and chimes, and you talk to me after, girl.
Maybe I go for, like, New Year's Day or New Year's.
That's some good primary food for you for New Year's.
Do some stuff like, dude, you should do that.
And a Reiki session and...
I'm looking for the next chapter career-wise, financially, expressive, geographically. And I keep coming back to love because I just feel, you know, 5-7 years ago when there were other Filipino restaurants, I had a healthy dose of competitiveness that veered not cool.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But now I know so much more about who we are as a culture, how hard it is just to even open the door. Yeah. I have so much love. Really, for anyone who even attempts, I'm like, go get it.
Right.
I mean that.
No, we're also destroying the crab mentality that we were raised to believe that that's what we were taught. Other Filipinos were like, have that crab mentality.
Because we were tribal.
Yeah.
Right.
So that, and I come back to, I am really looking forward to love because I think I look at love so differently now to, you know, it's to root for someone and know that they're rooting for you too. And I want to be there for someone and have someone be there for me. And, you know, I don't know if I could have kids, but if adoption comes that way or just, I never thought about that. I had a pretty bad miscarriage. So I didn't think it was going to happen, but I just, whatever I touch, I want it to be an extension of love, really. Like, I'm just,
you're very powerful, so whatever you speak, you invite. And whatever you don't speak, you also invite.
Oh, what you don't speak?
Whatever you don't ask for can show up.
Oh, you know, I got a lot of things coming that I don't ask for.
That doesn't sound good. Exactly. No.
But you don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, even some of the bad things, when they come, it's like, yo, I'm ready. Because quite honestly, I've been very lucky in my life. And so when that happens, it's just like, you're just prepared for it. Like, you're just so open to it. You don't even know that this bad thing is the one that's going to challenge you, that you have to deal with it and realize what it's a good thing. And then you realize, fuck, I can grow anything.
Yeah, I've had my, some fair doses of the negative stuff. And we're not exempt. It's not like it's not going to happen.
But where you are right now is because you are so low also. You
know what I mean?
Like, you're still... Yeah. Like, you still have room for all that.
That is exactly how I metabolized cancer. I jujitsued what came at me into, took the force of that into other things, and it was exquisite.
Amazing.
Constantly exquisite.
You still jujitsu?
All the time.
Really?
It's an hourly thing.
Really?
Conflicts come at me.
She's like, I'm gonna throw this.
I will literally throw it into, and I'll be true, really honest. I have, since I was a kid, a very competitive, almost vengeful nature. And when I was given that diagnosis, I was like, oh yeah. I took that stance and I was like, oh yeah.
You're like, checkmate.
Oh. Exactly. And that's really powerful. And I think this is a great way to kind of round off this episode by reminding ourselves that we are so powerful. We are such survivors as Filipinos, you know, considering our history and just being here in the States, New York,
West Coast, wherever you are, business, all of it.
Yo, I could take an underground network of Filipinos throughout the country right now and have everybody be on the same channel, and we can change everything in that whole entire world and change that day, as long as everyone's like, okay, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. That's how powerful it is. Because the man handing the president's wife the bag was my uncle. You know what I mean? Like,
our
everywhere.
Network
if
is
you
strong.
Do that,
yeah.
It's the underbelly of, it's like, it's what gives them the ability to think they can do what they do, is because we do what we do.
Our networks are strong, but we're not connected.
No.
Yeah, that's why we have to change that dialogue and really band together and be louder.
Be louder.
Be stronger.
Speak up more. Let's go around and kind of round off by giving a piece of advice to someone who's listening who could be like us, or us 2 years ago, or us 5 years ago. A piece of advice, something that you've learned recently. And I think I'll start by being honest. Be honest. You know, those things that you have thoughts and you don't want to share, those thoughts that come at you that are like, hey, Cynthia, Cherish, you better do this. Be honest with that and listen to that. That's my advice.
Yeah, I mean, for me as a business owner and most importantly a mom, it's maintain the integrity, because that's going to be your legacy at the end of the day. You know, you'll disappear and your legacy will always shine a light, even when you're not here. So, like, that's the good legacy that you need to leave, is integrity in your work and in your personal life, everything you do. And put God first.
Sometimes we have to compromise things in the way we have to compromise ourselves in the way to do things, just in order to sort of survive and move forward. But just because we compromise those certain passageways, it's like you should never... There's things in you that you should never compromise, because those are your bearings. That's your compass. And sometimes you feel like you need to compromise that. That's exactly your lesson to learn. No, I'm not going to compromise this. I'm going to take everything that I have in me. And we're just going to go cross over the other side. That's all it is.
How about you, Nicole? You talk about compromise a lot.
So what's the advice for someone listening out there, Filipino or not, who... just pondering what next or what to do or how to do. I would say stay curious. And this seems like an anomaly, but individualistic in expression, but collective in execution. Because we tend to be individualistic. That's why we don't have a Manila town like Koreatown. That's why there's so many aspects you can compare to other cultures. Because we're tribal, we're clannish. But the only way we're going to move forward, if we want to move forward with an identity, we can move forward. She can move forward. We can all move forward. But if we want to move forward with some aspect of our background and identity, it has to be collective.
Yeah. Amazing. And I say to all three of you, girl, Ube, killing it. And let's end on
Can you make Charmaine wear a shirt?
I'll give you a shirt. We can end this on an actual food note, because I have been asked. So what exactly is ube? Is it taro? Is it not? Is it a root? What is it? And is that artificial taro. Coloring? These are the questions I get asked. What is ube?
Ube is purple yam.
Yeah.
It's just an orange yam in the States.
Yeah.
Ours is purple.
It's a purple yam. Plain and
purple's
simple.
Fly, yo.
Right, Nicole? The taro is the one we put in sinigang.
Yeah.
Gabi.
Yeah.
Gabi.
Yeah. It's white, but it's got purple veins.
Yeah.
So, but it's not naturally purple. But ube comes in so many shapes and forms. You
purple
know?
Yam. Simple as that.
Yeah.
Purple dessert.
Sometimes it looks like jicama. So sometimes it looks like...
It's a gnarly little thing. Yeah. A vine grows, a big-ass vine, cover this whole thing, and they're all in the bottom. But it's like vines everywhere.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I have to see it in person.
It's interesting. It's like an alien.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be.
Could be.
So how do we find you all on social media?
At @cafe_86. And personal one would be @ Gingeru.
I just have one because I'm not that popular. It's @ Charmania, CharmaniA.
Nicole, where are you
Nicole's
at?
Nicole's like, nah, don't follow me. You can't find me. No. Find me in the book. By the book. Find it.
Oh my gosh. I was just listening to your voice. I was like, C-H-A-R-M-A-I-N-I.
Who knew Charmaine's so mesmerizing? Sheesh. Maricel, you didn't tell
them. Don't tell them anything.
Where do we find you, Nicole?
Mine's at Nicole Ponseca. P as in Peter, O-N-S-E-C-A.
It's not B as in boy.
Not B as in boy.
P as in Peter. I'm at DJ Cherish the Love, and that's love spelled L-U-V on Instagram. Any closing thoughts before we end?
I'm getting kind of hungry.
I'm hungry. We're
going to
get food. We're going to get food. So, you know, thank you so much, Nicole Ponseca.
Ponseca.
Ginger Lim Dimapasok and Charmaine Parcero Pondeseca. For being here
on the replay
with us today and rocking out this Filipino American History Month. You have been listening to Primary Food on Heritage Radio Network. Please go to heritageradionetwork.org to become part of the familia and support podcasts like this one. We need you. And if you're in New York, get some dinner at Jeepney, Maharlika, then hop on a plane for dessert to LA or Vegas for some Cafe 86. Salamat, everyone. See you on the next episode of Primary Food. But till then, go check out our last four seasons. Peace, love, ube, adobo, and may you get 100 score at your next karaoke session. Bye.
Hella.
Tonight, let's go.
Thanks, everyone.
This program is powered by Simplecast.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization, driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.